It's time for overtime.
You ready?
No!
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Jamal Shedd down to nine. Shedd on the bounce, Shedd the blow by, Shedd driving to the hoop, underneath for Robert, two-hand slam!
From coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
It's hour number two on a Monday, July 13th edition of Overtime. We wrapped up hour number one moments ago, dedicating some time, some thought into the World Cup Final Four. We've got France and Spain tomorrow afternoon from Arlington, England and Argentina Wednesday afternoon from Atlanta. Took a look at those odds and gave you some opinion on what we've saw, what we've seen so far, and what is ahead for the World Cup moving forward. That and more, including an all-star break conversation, Major League Baseball with our friend Wayne McDonald Jr. That podcast, hour number one, now available for your consumption at ESPNSiouxFalls.com or wherever you get your podcast. Still to come on today's show, Monday, July 13th edition of the program. Latest from college football, National Football League. Big debate today across the NFL. Quarterback rankings. There's no debate in the top three. There's no real debate in the top five. Where it's centered up is spots 6 through 20. Feel pretty darn muddy right now in the National Football League. There's guys looking to make the jump into that bracket, like a Bryce Young, a Tyler Shuck, a Cam Ward, and many, many more. But we're looking at those guys log-jammed from the really good, would like to see more category to the, is he still an elite player? Or look out for that guy. He's on the up and up. We'll dive in to that debate where one particular quarterback, Mr. Jalen Hurts, was the biggest snub of all the snubs. Not into the top 10 after winning a Super Bowl just last year with the Philadelphia Eagles. How wrong is that to leave him out? And we will not know exactly where he ranks, but you feel like he ranks number 11 or 12 in the rankings from ESPN.com. We break that down, talk about it, and talk about where Jordan Love fits into the picture and if, in fact, he is behind Caleb Williams right now, as ESPN would suggest, or is ESPN leading in too heavily to the bright and shiny new toy in Caleb Williams, like we tell you not to do every offseason. Hey, be careful with C.J. Stroud. They had a great year, but he's still really darn young. Hey, be really careful with Jaden Daniels. He was really good, but you don't know what's coming down the pike in D.C. Caleb Williams, prime for regression, or is he there to stay in the top 10? That is a big debate ahead of the 2026 season. We weigh in on the quarterback rankings coming up here in about 20 minutes. And we wrap up today's show. Major League Baseball check-in. Fun story for a not fun season of Colorado Rockies baseball to touch on. NBA basketball and the good, the bad, and the ugly before we're done on this Monday. Major League Baseball, first half of the season is gone. We're into the All-Star break. Here are your notable finals from yesterday. Brewers among the best teams in Major League Baseball. They did lose heavily yesterday to Pittsburgh, 14-5. Milwaukee enters that All-Star break just shy of 60 wins, 59-37. Kansas City lost to Baltimore. The Cubbies picked up a win over the Reds. They are 54-42. Guardians win 51-46. Detroit lost to Philly 5-0. Tigers enter as the fourth place team in the AL Central at 44-52. And lastly, from the Central, the White Sox over the A's 9-1. Chicago still hanging on for now to the top spot in the division. But the Minnesota Twins are giving some chase. 4-2 final yesterday. Minnesota just one game under 500 at the All-Star break. Pretty darn good stuff. And manager Derek Shelton says, I'm starting to see this team settle in.
Yeah, I think we definitely have. I mean, I think it's a situation where early in the season with the new staff, we needed to take a look at guys in certain situations in certain spots. I think we're kind of settling into where our roster is. I mean, we'll continue to look to upgrade it, but overall, we're pleased with how everybody has adjusted to the movement that we've had.
Twins manager Derek Shelton. Now Taj Bradley, who is another winner on the mound yesterday, 9-3 the record. Here's what the young pitcher had to say about his outing yesterday in a 4-2 win.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I feel like we're putting up quality starts, going deeper into games and everything like that, giving the team a chance to win.
I feel like with our offense and they're putting up numbers like that, so we just got to keep the game close enough to where when they strike hot, we're just there to secure everything.
Taj Bradley, 9-3 with a 3.59 ERA. Lastly, from Derek Shelton, good way to finish the first half of the year.
Yeah, we've played well. I mean, I think today Taj set the tone. I think you got to give a ton of credit to Ryan Kreidler. He played really well at shortstop. A couple really nice plays that helped us out on a deflection, the line drive. But Taj did a good job, and then Mo being able to come in and finish it off. But really good way to finish the first half.
That's Twins manager Derek Shelton, Minnesota, into the break with a record of 48-49. We did play the commentary in hour number one. Shelty talking about Byron Buxton, maybe back Friday. No promises, but certainly won't be too long for Byron Buxton to get back into the lineup following his latest injury concern. All-Star break underway. Home Run Derby tonight on Netflix. All-Star game coming up tomorrow night on Fox. Not to undersell what we're going to see tomorrow, but Jesse Rogers a little fed up on the one-and-done inning strategy in in the All-Star game for pitchers.
You're throwing one inning, for God's sakes. Are you really going to blow out because of the All-Star game? You don't have to throw 105 if you're Miz. You need to sort of respect the game if the game is going to have an All-Star game, you know what I mean? So it feels a little weird with guys dropping out left and right. It's not something we saw back in the day, which is probably why you feel like, you know, it's an old opinion. But I don't think the average fan is going to turn on and care if those stars are not in it. That's what the All-Star game is for. So it feels a little hollow. There's no meaning to the All-Star game, and so many star pitchers are bowing out. That's what I mean. At least most of the position players on a yearly basis go, but it's not the same because, you know, who knows if Schwarber's going to hit a home run. Miz throwing 100 or close to it was a guarantee if he was in the game.
All-Star break underway. Derby tonight on Netflix. All-Star game tomorrow night on Fox. Minnesota will be back in action in the regular season Friday. They'll open up a series in Chicago against the Cubs. WNBA basketball yesterday. Fever obliterated the Aces 109-75 on the road. Aaliyah Boston had 19 points and 11 rebounds. Indiana 14-9. Vegas slips to 17-7. Tonight, we'll see the Lynx at home against the Mercury. 8 o'clock start time on NBC Sports Network. In the NBA, there's just really couple things to talk about. Kawhi Leonard trade, LeBron James's future, that's still very muddy. Evan Cohen outside of the box with this take on a landing spot for LeBron that hinges on one former running mate's future as well.
The longer this goes, the closer it gets to August 6th, the more I'm going to believe all of this is just waiting for Anthony Davis to get to the Warriors in a way that the Wizards would not be inclined to trade him to right now. Because they could sit there and say, nah, we'll work this out. It may not be four. Maybe it's three. Maybe it's not 250. Maybe it's 220. And I think based on the fact that they gave out what Brian Windhorst and others have called the worst contract in the league already in Trae Young, Rich Paul has every right to say, no, the guy you just traded for, Anthony Davis, all in, full max, entirety, every last cent. And if the Wizards say no, which they should say no, and they should have said no to Trae Young, then what? Where does he end up? One-for-one trade for Jimmy Butler works. Draft picks come the Wizards' way, you call it a day. Then where does LeBron go? You're telling me LeBron, in the state of California, is going to turn down Anthony Davis, Draymond Green, and Steph Curry?
Be interesting to see if that has ended up how the bed is made for LeBron James out there in Golden State. We'll wait and see, but certainly a lot of prohibitive deadlines on the way and LeBron likely to drag his feet, get the most information possible about his future, as is his right, but certainly will carry us all the way into potentially August with this decision supposedly, maybe, possibly on the way. Let's talk about the NFL before long. Less than a month from now, we'll be underway with preseason football. For nerds like me, it's a big deal. Hall of Fame game coming up Thursday, August the 6th. That officially kicks off the season. Panthers and Cardinals from Canton, 7 o'clock on the 6th of August on NBC. Preseason week one. Packers at the Steelers, Lions at Bengals. That'll be Thursday, August 13th. 1 month from tonight. On Friday, the 14th of August, Broncos open the season in Atlanta. And on Saturday, Bears home to the Browns, Vikings at the Giants, Chiefs home to the Rams to open up our area teams' seasons. Well, right now, we're talking about anything but the season. We're ranking quarterbacks, and it's Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Matthew Stafford, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson in the top five, but notably absent from not just the top five, but the top 10 is Jalen Hurts. Evan Cohen has a big problem there.
I happen to love Dak Prescott. I think Dak Prescott is a really good player. In what world is Dak Prescott better than Jalen Hurts? Jalen Hurts is the most disrespected quarterback of any quarterback in the NFL. It's ridiculous. I'm walking in the supermarket yesterday. You know what? I looked up to my left, and what did I see? A big Wheaties box with Jalen Hurts on the cover.
Love
and
that.
I sat there with a smile and a smirk on my face because this guy is going to get everybody this year. Everybody has written this guy off. Oh, it's just A.J. Brown, Sirianni and Hurts. What's going on? Hurts' teammates don't like him as much as they like A.J. Brown. It's ridiculous that Jalen Hurts has been to two Super Bowls, has won a Super Bowl, and is this good and this accomplished in the NFL, and is not even on the top 10 list?
Yeah, it feels pretty wrong, frankly, that Jalen Hurts is not on that list. You could say, okay, he's the 10th best quarterback, and nobody would have a big problem if he just made the list. But the names in front of him are younger, much less accomplished players, like a Drake May, a Caleb Williams, a Jared Goff is on the list ahead of Jalen Hurts. Yes, I got a problem with it as well. Dak Prescott at 6 over Jalen Hurts feels a little odd as well. But Evan Cohen goes back a little deeper to the top 5 where he says you need to kind of move two different players here in regards to Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson.
There is no justification in my mind to put Joe Burrow above Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is a more proven player in the NFL than Joe Burrow, and it's not close. I understand that Joe Burrow has been to a Super Bowl. I get it. He's got that over Lamar. He didn't win this Super Bowl. And Lamar has two MVPs. Could have won a third pretty easily with the season he had. And Lamar Jackson being below Joe Burrow is absurd.
There you go. Evan Cohen, quarterback rankings are here. We will open up the phone lines, open up the debate cannons later on this hour. It's Josh Allen 1, Mahomes 2, Matthew Stafford 3. Again, this is here and now rankings, not next 5 years. Of course, with Matthew Stafford there, Joe Burrow 4, Lamar Jackson 5, and then things come off the rails in a hurry, 6 through 10. And this is not an indictment at ESPN. It's just really hard to rank these guys. 6 through 10, Prescott, Herbert, May, Goff, and the wannabe Iceman, Caleb Williams, at number 10. That leaves out big names like Jalen Hurts, Sam Darnold, Jordan Love, Jaden Daniels, Aaron Rodgers, C.J. Stroud, Trevor Lawrence, Bo Nix, Brock Purdy, and Baker Mayfield. Those are the other 10 names, so 20 in total. I gave you 10 other names that could be in the conversation. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is top 10 anymore. Relax. R-E-L-A-X. But I'm saying he could be in the conversation there among those quarterbacks is a peer at this stage. I'm not saying he's a top 10 guy, probably not even a top 15, 16 guy at this stage in his career, but those are the other names that could have a snub candidacy, if you will. Jalen Hurts, the leader in the clubhouse there, not inside the top 10. Let's move forward into college football where things are getting interesting in Ann Arbor, Michigan, where they're meeting to decide and determine and mull over the future of longtime athletic director Ward Manuel. Here's Adam Rittenberg of ESPN on the Michigan AD job if it becomes available.
This is always going to be a sought after job. It's one of the most recognizable brands in American sports. It's an incredible university, an athletic department that's won championships in multiple sports and had success both on the men's and women's side. So it's incredibly appealing, great place to live. So it's not going to be a problem for them to get candidates, but I do think the cleanup part, you know, has to be front and center.
That's Adam Rittenberg of ESPN. More from Michigan here, just on the legacy of Ward Manuel, if this is it.
Well, it was eventful, right? Ward is still, that sort of traditional athletic director model. Someone who was a college athlete, former lineman for Bo Schembechler at Michigan, who, came up as an administrator and then became an athletic director, a couple places, including UConn, before coming back to Michigan. And, he was there and inherited Jim Harbaugh right at the start of his tenure. I still remember Harbaugh acknowledging Ward in his introductory news conference. The next few years were relatively quiet as far as off-field issues, but Michigan wasn't making the type of progress that it wanted to as far as the major sports. And what's really stood out to me, guys, here in the last 5 years, there's been success, no doubt, but there's also been scandal. And so it's a bit of a mixed legacy here, especially over the last few years.
And that's absolutely fair. Things have been successful in terms of winning titles at Michigan. Are they without some stain and some criticism? No. But it's a mixed bag so far for Ward Manuel, and we will wait and see about future developments in that story. You can track that at ESPN.com as they are meeting later this week to determine the direction of the athletics program after the investigation into conduct, etc. There in Ann Arbor, we'll keep you posted as news becomes available. In the golf world, PGA Tour over the weekend, Tom Kim was the low winner at the Scottish Open, 17 under. Next up, the Open Championship running Thursday through Sunday. Wimbledon winners on the women's side, it was Linda Neskova of Czechia taking out Karolina Mukova of Czechia, 6-2, 5-7, 6-3. And then in the men's final, Jannik Sinner won for the second consecutive season at Wimbledon over Alexander Zverev, 6-7, 7-6, 6-3, 6-4 yesterday. And lastly, from the World Cup, quarterfinal action on Saturday, England beat Norway 2-1. Argentina got by Switzerland 3-1. So we got the semifinals set, ready for action tomorrow afternoon, 2 o'clock on Fox from Arlington, Texas. France meeting Spain, 2 o'clock on Fox Wednesday afternoon from Atlanta. England and Argentina. Third place game will be Saturday from Miami. And the final will be Sunday from MetLife Stadium in New Jersey, 2 o'clock on Fox. Let's dive right into your ReliaBank headlines of the day. It's hour number two, and we're talking college football. At long last, a pair of Coyotes, running back Charles Pierre Jr. and linebacker Gabriel Hardman, have been named preseason All-American selections by FCS Stats Perform. This announcement as of this morning. Pierre, of course, missed the majority of last season with an injury. The first team All-MVFC back was the first Coyote in D1 FCS era to rush for 1,000 yards in a season, hitting the mark with a season-high 173 yards in a win against North Dakota all the way back in November of 2024. He ran for 1,244 yards and 16 touchdowns that year in South Dakota's two-back system that saw both him and Travis Tice each rush for over 1,000. Entering this year, Pierre Jr. sits fourth in the FCS era in career 100-yard rushing games with six. Four of those 100-yard rushing games have come in front of a home crowd inside the Dakota Dome. Charles Pierre Jr., a second-team honoree. Gabriel Hardman, linebacker, a third-team honoree for USD. And the Jackrabbits cleaned up. They landed six different players on the publication from Stats Perform. Quinton Christensen, first team selection on the offensive line, and a six total Jackrabbit football players were recognized Monday. The senior to be from Wessington Springs, Christensen received his first team nod after a last season in which he started all 14 games at left tackle and earned second team All-American honors from Stats Perform. Four Jackrabbits were named to the preseason All-America second team, including a pair of defensive stalwarts and defensive end Dawson Raperta and linebacker Cullen McShane. Representing the SDSU offense on the second team was wide receiver Lofton Ogroski. And the Jackrabbits' last second team honoree was senior punter Max Pelham. And tight end Grayton Gannon rounded out SDSU's six overall selections with a third team honor. You can view that article, the honorees, eight total between USD and SDSU at ESPN Sioux Falls. com. And we shared this with you this morning. It's not often you see an injury report with a player that has plural in the cause of injury or the area of concern. Nafisa Collier, ankles, nearing a return for the Lynx. That headline at ESPN.com. The All-Star's return could be imminent for the Lynx, team that entered the weekend tied atop the WNBA standings. Minnesota is 17-6, and they've got five more games, including three at home, before the WNBA All-Star game in Chicago near the end of the month. Here's what head coach Cheryl Reeve had to say about Collier's eventual return from dual offseason ankle surgeries. You don't know what the game situations are going to bring, so it's going to be a little bit of a feeling out, trial and error. I don't have a date for you as to when, but obviously she's getting really close. And that is really good news for one of the best teams of the WNBA that has been there and done that this year without their best player. No Nafisa Collier, no problem for Minnesota. But when Collier's back in the lineup, all sorts of problems for everybody else in the WNBA. Those are your ReliaBank headlines of the day for hour number two. If you love a good debate, I would love your call coming up around the corner. What do you think of the quarterback rankings at ESPN.com? We'll run through them here quickly as we go to break. No real big fights in the top five. Josh Allen, 1. Patrick Mahomes, 2. Matthew Stafford, 3. Burrow, Lamar Jackson in the top five. That feels pretty darn fair. Those are the names. You can arrange them whichever way you want. You're wrong if you don't have Josh Allen at number 1. I'll tell you that. But 6 through 10, is very much up for debate. Dak Prescott, a sixth best quarterback in the league. Justin Herbert at 7, Drake May at 8, Jared Goff at 9, and Caleb Williams at 10. This list feels like it was manufactured to make Packer fans angry. I'm fired up about it. Let's debate it coming up next on Overtime.
You want more of Overtime? It's all on the podcast. Free with the app or online at ESPN Sioux Falls. Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Right back with you. It is Monday, July 13th. Later on this week, we're going to be off tomorrow gathering some great audio for the rest of the week at MVFC Football Media Day. Jackrabbits, Coyotes, other teams of note. So many stars on display here at the Sanford Pentagon in town. We will be off tomorrow from the show. Still working hard to get you all sorts of great content and audio the rest of the week from the stars at USD, the coaches at USD and SDSU, and so much more. We'll also introduce you to a new head coach in our neck of the woods later this week in studio on Wednesday. New head coach of the Augustana Viking volleyball program, Erica Butte, going to be joining us in studio. She's a Butte, Clark, coming up on Wednesday. Right now, ready, set, climb this summer. You can play Quickstar's Mountain Dew Quick Climb and score cash over summertime. Now through August 16th, you can play free every day. Every day inside the Quick Rewards app, daily cash prizes that climb all the way up to a $250,000 payday at the top. You can boost your chances, bonus plays, if you buy select Pepsi-Cola beverages to earn those bonus plays. That's your summer, your climb, your win, only at Quickstar. Full rules at quickstar.com/sweepstakes. And while you're in, while you're using and utilizing and getting a boost from that Quick Rewards app, do not miss out on the opportunity to order ahead. You can select order ahead inside the app, order, take care of your payment ahead of time, and your orders can be picked up in store or brought to your car curbside. We're talking fried chicken, pizza, take-home meals, any groceries, anything you need. They got you covered. Quick Rewards app right now. Details and more. Quickstar.com/sweepstakes for the quick climb, and download that Quick Rewards app to save even more today. That's Quickstar, where your day gets better. Well, just about time to fire up the debate cannons, but let's talk Packer football first. Isaiah McDuffie, the linebacker, veteran, role player, not a true blue certifiable starter at this stage. Packers have other plans at the premium linebacker positions, but McDuffie's still a really good backfill there, and he got a one-year contract extension late last week. Zach Jacobson of 247sports.com reported the deal. McDuffie inked a two-year, $8 million contract extension just last March, so the new deal will tie him to Green Bay all the way through the 2027 season. The soon-to-be 27-year-old out of Boston College has been an important rotational linebacker and core special teamer over his first 5 years. Now he's behind Zaire Franklin and Edgerrin Cooper at that inside linebacker spot. But what if I told you, for the Packer defense that's got all sorts of ingenuity now with Jonathan Gannon coming into town, what if Edgerrin Cooper slides out in some different rotations and packages on the defensive side and McDuffie goes in there with Zaire Franklin and other pass rushers out there? Maybe McDuffie can be that old school thumping middle linebacker with the Zaire Franklin, and let Cooper go out there and be that dynamic, young, longer-bodied athlete, which he is in the Packer defense. We'll see. Isaiah McDuffie, one-year contract extension late last week. Well, it may not have been an ayahuasca ceremony, maybe, but Aaron Rodgers had a gathering of six teammates for a bonding week before his, quote, last rodeo. According to Pro Football Talk, Steelers veteran quarterback posted on Instagram photos of a gathering with six of his teammates. The six selections: Michael Pittman Jr., Ben Skowronek, Roman Wilson, Mason Rudolph, DK Metcalf, and Steelers tight end Pat Freiermuth. The caption is last rodeo, along with hashtag bonding week. I gotta tell you, as critical as I am at times of Aaron Rodgers, and as much as a lot of you are saying, please retire already, go away, you're not going to win anything, leave us alone, turn the page, find something else to do, I'm excited for Rodgers' final season, if it happens to be his final season. But generally speaking, Rodgers says before the season, this is it. He has not said that before. Got to believe him. Last rodeo for Aaron Rodgers and a bonding week with six teammates all on the offensive side. Four receivers, quarterback Mason Rudolph, tight end Pat Freiermuth. Now, the Seattle Seahawks are just about sold. A group led by the Niners' limited partner, Vinod Khosla, doing my best on the name, has agreed to purchase the Seahawks. This announcement coming on Saturday. Terms of the deal not yet disclosed, but multiple league sources with knowledge of the matter said the selling price is north of $9.61 billion. That would be a record for an NFL franchise and might be, I don't have any stats or data to back this up, but this might be one of the first times we've seen a championship-winning franchise right on the heels of winning said championship go up for sale. So maybe you're selling at the top here, $9.612 billion. That news item dropped on Saturday. Stephon Diggs, Tyreek Hill, and other veteran receivers are still waiting on calls. Stephon Diggs is healthy, just cleared a legal hurdle, and is looking to get back in the league. Stephon's still a free agent just over 2 weeks before the start of training camps, although he admits he's probably no longer a top-tier wide receiver. Diggs also apparently is confident that he is better than any team's current number two target. My opinion, I can compete with anybody, Diggs said in a video posted last week to his YouTube channel. But take those top receivers as your ones, right? You can't name a number two better than me. 32-year-old Diggs became a free agent back in March when he was released by the Patriots in a financially driven move. Diggs would have counted $26.5 million in salary cap space this year for the Patriots, who ultimately recalibrated at wide receiver Romeo Dobbs, A.J. Brown, and others. Diggs looking for an opportunity, and as much as you want to laugh at that notion, he might not be all that wrong. There are some wide receiver twos in the NFL that are better than Stephon Diggs, but there's not a ton right now. Diggs still pretty darn good. Had 1,000 yards, 4 touchdowns in the regular season for New England, and certainly will provide a boost in the right spot this year. Hard to speculate where makes the most sense. Minnesota made sense until they brought in Juwan Jennings. They're kind of out of the sweepstakes. There's many other teams that could come calling, especially keep an eye out and an ear out for the injury bug if that happens and bites somebody in the preseason, or maybe certain said player does not make the jump that a team wants them to in the preseason. Maybe that's when you get a Stephon Diggs signing. Well, time now to fire up the debate cannons. I'm always curious your opinion. Your call is welcome, 605-362-3776. But ESPN Radio has put out the tweet, and this has been circulating around ESPN.com and other places about quarterback rankings. Now, at ESPN.com, they have the quarterbacks ranked up like this. Josh Allen, number one. Patrick Mahomes, number two. Matt Stafford, three. Burrow, four. Lamar Jackson, five. Now, most people, not saying you're wrong if you don't have that exact top five, but most people would put those five as their top five with some sort of change in the order. That's pretty much exactly how I would have it. I would probably have Burrow ahead of Stafford. I don't know exactly what I would do in that top five, but 6 through 10 is where it gets funky and weird, especially at number six. Dak Prescott is the sixth best quarterback in the NFL. Are you kidding me? I don't really see that. I'm a big Dak fan, but it feels pretty darn crazy to have Dak that high. Dak is followed by Justin Herbert, Drake May, Jared Goff, and Caleb Williams in the top 10. Notably absent here are the likes of Jalen Hurts, Super Bowl winner 2 years ago, Sam Darnold, last year's Super Bowl winner, back-to-back really great seasons for Sam Darnold. Jordan Love, I think, has a conversation to be a top 10 guy, might not have top 10 chops just yet. I'm trying to not be a massive homer here. Trying for once. Jordan Love missing the cut. Another guy who has an argument. Jaden Daniels not in the top 10. CJ Stroud, Trevor Lawrence just had a great year. Bo Nix has had a pretty great start to his career. Brock Purdy, Baker Mayfield, and of course, Aaron Rodgers doesn't have a real conversation, but he's still in that 18 and up tier right now in quarterback rankings. Debatable, of course. But that is the way it is right now. Those rankings 6 through 10, Dak, Herbert, May, Goff, Williams. You're asking me honestly here. I'm probably going Drake May at 6. And I would go Jalen Hurts at 7. Herbert 8, Prescott 9, And then I would probably squeeze in Sam Darnold at 10. So that would have me dropping out Jared Goff and Caleb Williams. Always interested in your opinion because these can go any which way, but Dak Prescott really good. You look at his last 3-4 years, it's been good year, healthy year, followed by bad year, unhealthy year for the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. And there's a lot of ways to talk about this. Postseason success, resume, acumen, ceiling, future. And that's where you see these names come in here like Drake May and Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams in particular. Surprise me. Drake May, MVP candidate. Very close to being the MVP this past year. In the votes. Did not win MVP. Did not win the Super Bowl. You wonder where he'd be if he won it. And the guy that he lost to in Sam Darnold, who had a great defense and a great team and great backs and great receivers, he still drove the boat all the way to Titletown. Sam Darnold deserves to be in the top 10. Maybe not any higher than 10, but I think that's where he deserves. And then Jalen Hurts, 2 Super Bowl appearances, MVP conversation a couple years behind him. He continues to win ballgames. There's a lot up for debate here. But to me, Prescott too high. Herbert's a guy that doesn't get enough hatred. Not hatred in terms of the person or the player per se, but hatred in terms of, yeah, I'm not sure if he's that dude. Because we anointed him really early in his career as a top 5, top 6 quarterback, and he has yet to have any postseason success of note, including some big postseason blunders. So for me, Herbert too high, Dak too high, Caleb, get off my lawn, Jared Goff out of town. Not saying you're awful, not saying you're awful, but top 12, top 13, 14 makes a lot of sense. I'm not anointing Jordan Love and thrusting him into the top 10, although personally, I would love to have Jordan Love in the top 10. But I don't think he's there just yet. You got to prove it. You got to be the reason why your team wins before we start telling people you're one of the best in the NFL. Those rankings are up at ESPN.com. Josh Allen, number 1. To me, that's a no-doubter. Mahomes, number 2. I told you last week he's either 2 or 3. Stafford, 3rd. Burrow, 4. Lamar, 5. Now, that's an interesting combo. Burrow or Lamar. Lamar or Burrow. Not going to argue with you either way. But where I will argue is that 6 through 10, hard to find two people that have the exact same 5 quarterbacks in that order as ESPN put together with their polling and their amalgamation of opinions at ESPN.com. That's the latest and greatest from the world of college and pro football. When we come back, we dive in to Major League Baseball, the NBA, and the good, the bad, and the ugly, including a can't-miss baseball story from the worst team in Major League Baseball. The Colorado Rockies have had a nasty, stinky, yucky 2026 season. They accomplished something pretty cool, and by they, I mean one of their players yesterday did something we haven't seen in a long time. That and more coming up next as we conclude this Monday, July 13th edition of Overtime.
Stream us online, stream us on the app. Streaming now, Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you, set to round out and wrap up a fun Monday, July 13th edition of the show. You miss any of the program, you can listen back. Podcast links available on the free ESPN Sioux Falls mobile app. Well, if your team of choice and your sport of choice, your team has a down year or a periodic struggle or a struggle for decades and decades and decades to get off the schneid, back to the postseason, win a title, something of that nature, you got to find silver linings. You got to find diamonds in the rough. And certainly what Jake McCarthy has done for the hapless Colorado Rockies has been notable this year. In a loss yesterday, Rafael Devers scored the tie-breaking run in a 2-run 8th inning when catcher Hunter Goodman threw wildly into center field on a stolen base attempt, and the San Francisco Giants overcame Jake McCarthy's second leadoff inside the park home run this season to beat the Rockies 3-1 on Sunday. So in another loss, the latest loss for the Rockies sends their record to 39-59. But in that loss, something pretty darn special took place again. Jake McCarthy, had an inside-the-park homer off of Pittsburgh's Paul Skenes at Coors Field on June 20th and became the first player with 2 of those in the same season since the New York Giants' Ed Rausch did the same in 1929. That is 97 years ago. Jake McCarthy, a bright spot, cool moments, inside the park home runs, two of them in a couple of months for Jake McCarthy and the Colorado Rockies. They're not winning ball games, but certainly some fun storylines emerging out of their latest loss. Other Major League Baseball news. It doesn't really matter who will be starting in the All-Star game. It's going to be short appearances for each and every pitcher. But Christopher Sanchez of the Philadelphia Phillies will start tomorrow night's All-Star game at his home ballpark, taking the mound for the National League against Dylan Cease of the Toronto Blue Jays. The Blue Jays announced on Sunday that Cease will be the AL starter. Dave Roberts of the Dodgers, who is managing the National League, says Sanchez is his starter. I think he deserves it. He's the hometown ball player, and I think the city of Philly will enjoy watching him and supporting him. Had a conversation with him this morning. He was very grateful. In a time when guys are not wanting to participate, this guy in the Midsummer Classic for fans, I think, is a good thing. He's very excited about pitching. Also on Sunday, Yankees manager Aaron Boone said New York's Cam Schlittler was not planning to pitch in the All-Star game. Then hours later said the right-hander could be available after all. This is what we talked about in hour number one with Wayne McDonald Jr., and we continue to do this every year. Whether we're talking the Pro Bowl, the NHL, Major League Baseball, NBA, we're so darn critical every year. Can they figure out the All-Star game, the All-Star break, the Pro Bowl, figure it out, make it like it used to be? Well, we're not kids anymore, and it's not the same ball game and the same planet that it was when we were kids, because back then, as in i.e. the 2000s, the 1990s, the 1980s, there was a lot more out there in terms of pride and a lot less out there in terms of, well, that guy's an investment, not a ball player, not a person. He's an investment. I don't want him playing in some charity match for eyeballs and ears. He needs to be on my team and healthy the rest of the way to help us win a title. And that goes on for all sports. And, you know, the NHL figured it out a couple years ago with the Four Nations Face-Off. That was a rip-roaring success, but the motivation there was from the outside. It was hometown country pride, best on best hockey. That was amazing. But outside of that, name me a really, really, really great, entertaining, must-see TV All-Star game, All-Star break, Pro Bowl, etc. right now that's going on. Because as far as I'm concerned, everything has gotten a little bit worse when it comes down to load management, availability, injury risk, etc. And of course, format always plays a role as well. We are so far gone from the days of massive hits in the Pro Bowl, big effort plays in the Pro Bowl, hard tackles, sacks, interceptions, etc. Pro Bowl is always a zillion to a zillion. Now we got the Pro Bowl games. Everything is always up in the air with all these other sports, with tinkers here and there about what kind of events, unique ingenuity. I don't know if we're ever going to get back to what we used to have just based on where we are, not culturally, but where we are as far as how we operate these teams and the business and the business assets that we have, a.k.a. the players and the personalities, as they gear up for something that doesn't count on the scorecard or in the bottom line of their franchises. But regardless, we will see. All-Star break, Home Run Derby tonight on Netflix, All-Star game tomorrow night on Fox. Michigan basketball has their new head coach. This went down entering the weekend. Mike Boynton Jr. has agreed on a two-year contract to become the next head coach of the Wolverines. Boynton had been the interim head coach since Dusty May left the reigning champion Wolverines for the NBA and the Dallas Mavericks last month. Boynton saying, "I'm grateful to athletic director Ward Manuel for his confidence and thankful for the opportunity to lead this program. We built a championship culture and a standard that everyone associated with the program takes great pride in. We have an outstanding group of players, and I'm excited to get to work and continue the success we've established together." The New York native was hired by May shortly after the former Florida Atlantic coach arrived at Michigan in 2024, with Boynton taking defensive coordinator duties and helping architect the nation's number one defense. This is a really good hire. Is it the best hire out there? Maybe not as far as name recognition and big splash and peeling somebody off a really good program to come to an elite program at Michigan right now in men's basketball. But Mike Boynton, the other thing you can say here is tried and true. The administration knows him, likes him. The players know him, like him, play hard for him. That continuity, the recruiting base here, maybe this hire also prevents defection due to the coaching change at Michigan? We'll see. But Mike Boynton Jr. going to take over in Ann Arbor as the next head coach of the Wolverines. Up to the NBA, Gary Trent Jr. has agreed to a 4-year, $64 million deal to remain with the Milwaukee Bucks. This went down over the weekend. Also, Ja Morant speaking out about a new home in Portland. He said on Saturday that the recent trade that sent him to Portland will give him the chance to, quote, start fresh and prove that his bad guy image is a misconception. Here's what Morant had to say in his first public comment since being traded. What would I like cleared up? I think you know the answer to that. My image, that I'm a bad guy. I'm Ja. I've done what I've done in the past, but it's been addressed and handled already. I don't see why years later that that's still the topic when nothing's happened since. If I was that guy, y'all wouldn't be talking to me now. I wouldn't be here. That's a good point from Ja Morant. And frankly, I really like this landing spot for Ja Morant. It's not a massive city that is clamoring and needing for a star to take over and be that guy. Not that Ja really is right now. The star has lost its luster quite a bit. But it's not Chicago. It's not injecting into Dallas or Milwaukee or San Antonio or somewhere you're expecting him to be really, really darn good. And I think that's good for Ja Morant. And I'm rooting for the guy to rehab that image and rehab the career because I believe he can do it. And I think Portland's a good spot. Veteran leader there, Dame Lillard. I think that's a good spot for Ja Morant to rekindle and quietly rehab that image and get back on the scene in the NBA. Cool stuff out of the NBA with Ja Morant heading to Portland. And lastly, the not cool article out of the NBA that went down on Friday morning. In case you missed it, former Miami Heat teammates Bam Adebayo and Tyler Hero got into a physical altercation in Las Vegas on Friday morning, during which Adebayo struck Hero in the head area. Sources told ESPN's Shams Charania the altercation occurred at a practice court in a Vegas hotel. Started when Adebayo approached Hero about comments the guard made, critiquing the center on social media after their seven-year run as teammates in Miami ended when Hero was traded to Milwaukee. Recently, Hero was seated courtside at the Thomas and Mack Center on Friday's Summer League game between the Heat and Bucks. He was interviewed during the game on the Prime broadcast before the news of his altercation with Adebayo broke. It's all love in Miami, said Hero, who was part of the blockbuster deal that sent Giannis down to South Beach. I've seen a couple guys, coaching staff, Chris Quinn, Spo, front office guys. We're all good in Miami. Just an opportunity for both sides to reset, get a fresh start, and both are happy with this. An organization like Miami, they want championships. They play for championships. It's part of the business. Hero, though, was hiding about the incident that went down on Friday. Punched in the face, contact to the head. Very ugly scenario out of the NBA for Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo, the Miami Heat, and more. We'll see about whatever potential ramifications, repercussions come out of that incident. Now, as always, let's round out and wrap up the show. It is the Monday edition of the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Who's been the problem child today? Displayed their ugly side. Whined a bit too much and is now setting a bad example. Bert is calling out today's headline makers with the good, the bad, and the ugly.
All right, let's hit it. The good, the bad, and the ugly. If you need a new rooting interest for the Open Championship, I got one for you. How about this? English golfer Joe Dean isn't hauling groceries anymore, but he more than delivered on Monday by winning the inaugural Last Chance qualifier to earn his way into the 154th Open Championship field. Dean, who is 32 years old, posted a 2-under-68 at Royal Birkdale Golf Club to earn the final spot in the 156-man field. England's Andrew Wilson finished second at 1-under, while South Africa's Aldrich Potgieter was third at even par. Any opportunity to get into the Open again, I'll gladly turn up and play, Dean said. One-day events, I seem to play better. I don't know quite why. The mentality of trying to keep the same throughout any round and every round. Dean's longtime girlfriend, Emily, carried his bag during Monday's qualifier. They're getting married on July 21st. Dean was asked about, though, why the couple picked that date, and he joked it was cheaper. It'll be Dean's third appearance in the Open. He tied for 70th at Royal Birkdale in 2017, 25th at Royal Troon in Scotland in 2024. And certainly a lot of interesting storylines here, but not hauling groceries anymore. Joe Dean back into the Open Championship. Well, other good news, the Warriors have agreed to hire longtime NBA coach Frank Vogel as the associate head coach under Steve Kerr, filling the void left by the departing Terry Stotts. The 53-year-old Vogel has been a head coach for four different franchises spanning 12 total years. He led the Lakers most recently to an NBA title in 2020, took the Pacers to two conference finals in 2013 and 14. And lastly, the ugly. It's really more of an unknown than a bad or ugly, although there has certainly been a lot of bad and ugly under his watch at the University of Michigan. The University of Michigan's regents are expected to discuss an investigation into the culture of their athletic department later this week on Thursday. Sources told ESPN, as part of the review, a decision on the future of athletic director Ward Manuel is anticipated in the coming days. A university spokesman told ESPN that the school had nothing to report and declined further comment. Michigan commissioned the investigation back in December following the firing of football coach Sharon Moore for having a, quote, inappropriate relationship with a staff member. That's certainly well noted. The latest and greatest info on that story that could be bad, could be ugly, has been bad, has been ugly at ESPN.com. That is our show. Again, tomorrow we are off. We're going to be out and about at MBFC Football Media Day, talking with the Yotes, talking with the Jacks, getting some audio for the rest of the week of the show, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We're right back in the saddle with you guys. We're off tomorrow. Wednesday show, get to know new volleyball coach at Augustana, Erica Butte, in studio. So much more. We will talk to you on Wednesday as we continue with the week of the show. Then, thanks for listening as always. You're tuned in as always right here on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader. It's ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO.